all to be informed along those lines. Because the people that ordinarily would come to the meeting for the first time to find out what you had to offer them was of any particular value and worthy of their return and association with you. This is, in this area, or in the state of California, a new thing to the people of the community, but not a new thing in a sense. In the philosophical concept of the people in the community. Now they are going to judge the worthiness of the philosophy through what they are able to observe and find out at their first association with you in a meeting. I just want to call it in here before we are exposed. We don't want to manifest to the people that are seeking knowledge and intelligence any of our ignorance. We want to be careful what we say, how we act, and fully conscious of the fact that there are people there seeking to know something about God and the universe in which we live, and not about our domestic problems, about our environments, about the hardships and so forth and so on that we have established here, and so forth and so on. And we don't want to express that we have went to school for 26 years past in the city of Springfield, and since 1940 in Cincinnati, and haven't learned yet how to conduct ourselves in the public and how to act as if though there were many, many things that you don't understand, basically I'm speaking. And so far as the doctrine and philosophy is concerned, it would be better to allow the teachers to present. You find that somebody is going to try to get somebody off in a corner to get their opinion, view. What do you think of it, and what have you learned? And then if you come up with this kind of a thing that you have been going ever since 1940 and you haven't learned nothing, then why should you expect somebody else to learn? Which means, in turn, that we don't have no teacher. Because if the teacher hasn't taught, then the pupil hasn't learned. Nothing is being taught, so there's nothing to be learned. So this is a thing we have to watch. If we speak anything at all, for the Lord's sake, let it be your appreciation for the manifold blessings which God has so graciously bestowed upon you, irrespective and regardless to the length of time. the school as a whole. And I think that by so doing, showing your appreciation and your respect for the teaching, that it will encourage someone else. Again, we don't want to go into among new people and fail to make them well. Don't meet no strangers. Whatever you do, don't meet strangers. Don't go and group off into little isolated groups among our own people and forget to make the visitors welcome. Don't do that. Let it be the law of commandments that thou shalt not isolate, segregate, and fail to make those who come seeking the truth welcome and feel free to be accepted among you. A lot of attitudes and dispositions will be basically upon your friendliness and your anxiety to have them present and make them feel welcome. I thought it was my duty to tell you about those things. Be careful. Bend over backwards to make them welcome. Now, Mr. Merton, we want to cease calling him Mr. Merton. We want to call him Dr. Gerald Merton, Assistant Dean. We also want to call all of our teachers by their respectful positions as instructors among this group. Not that it means anything to me individually, and I've told you about that many, many times before. But to the other person, you let them know by addressing one another that you appreciate them as teachers. And in turn, it is our indispensable duty to respect you, not as a student by you. Those of you that are here in California who represent an integral part of the school, but as qualified charter members of this organization, it must go down in history that you that are here to help introduce the philosophy known as the archetypal and divine patterns of the universe that you are a part of this group. So bear that in mind. We want to take cognizance of you. We want to reckon you in the history of the founding of this school in the state of California as charter members. We want all of you to feel, without isolation, without segregation, or without degrees or varying degrees of respect, that you are a charter member of this school. So please bear those things in mind as we go to
to and from school.
Feel it's your indispensable duty to promote at all times and never, under no circumstances and conditions, attempt to say something that wouldn't be commendable in the public about the school in which you are a charter member. Don't say it not only over there in the building, don't say it in the community. Refrain from saying it anywhere to your friends or whatnot. There may be, yes, some things you're not pleased with. There may be some things that you don't like. There may be some things which you feel that shouldn't be. But that's not what we come to California to talk about. And there can be nothing here in the state of California that wasn't in the state of Ohio. And there cannot be nothing in the state of Ohio that's not in the state of California. So bear in mind that our primary objective is to teach people a better way of life. Teach them that there is a great God of this stellar universe. Teach them the possibility of them knowing him as he actually exists. Teach them that you have enough of the esoteric secrets introduced by those who have had communication and contact with the great God of this universe. And you have received through their contact a way or a definite pattern to measure the concepts of mankind against something that will stand up under scrutiny and investigation, and that without wavering. And if it's good for you, it's good for them. So let us see to it that we try to reconcile them to the same thing that has been of some special benefit to you. Show them your anxiety, your ambition, your sincerity to have them embark on a new trend of thought and discover something that is genuinely divine. Now, do you understand what I mean? Now, we have talked quite a good bit this afternoon. In fact, I had a gentleman here in the house, Mr. Anderson by name, a gentleman that was here with Mrs. Scott just a few weeks before she vacated these premises. He is from Chicago, and being from Chicago, and just like the rest of the people in the community that's going to come to see what you have, he studied the Oriental philosophy of the Far East, Judaism, Taoism. And he has a deep respect for the concept of many of the philosophers. He discards Christianity thinks that it was adopted from the Far East with a diversity of variations and employed in America to teach the people. In other words, he does not recognize the fact that it is a divine revelation direct from God that should have the preeminence over and above many of the philosophers who originated their moral and religious concepts from some of the founders of various different religions in the Far East. Which means this to me. I don't think that any of the religion under the sun has anything concrete to offer over and above the divine revelation and the pattern that God had shown to Moses and revealed to me, that it was sufficient to reconcile and to judge man throughout the universe. Not only man, I might say, the judge angel. And I fail to see how the concepts of any man, regardless of how academically qualified he is reputed to be, from any branch of philosophy or from any school under the sun, I don't think that his idea can be equivalent to that which God has revealed to Moses and the prophets and manifested to the world by Jesus Christ, whom we recognize to be God himself incarnated in the flesh. To summarize that thing, I would say this. That I don't think that the creature possesses the ability to correct and to instruct the Creator. That is summarized. And if he is living, why then I haven't found out anything about it. And I don't think you will. There may be, and I do agree, that there are some here that are capable and qualified to verify and to confirm and to support and to teach that which has already gone before our day. I think that there's some here that know something about it. And when I say here, I'm not referring to Ohio, and neither am I localizing it by saying that in California. But I mean that God has never, at no time, left himself exposed and allowed man to go along solely without anything to confirm or to verify his existence. I don't think a thing like that has happened. So, as we go along, from time to time, we want the people to know that here it is. For the first time in their lives in the state of California, if not in the world, here is a standard to test the validity of every man's concept. Whether it be acceptable or rejected. Now let me make you understand what I'm talking about. In all religions, all of them, and when I say that, I'm grouping together Christian doom, heathenism, and everything under the sun. So I don't want you to misunderstand. As far as you know anything about it, all the books on theology and everything else that you have ever read, nobody comes up with the introduction of a standard whereby that the world can either reject or accept a philosophy as being divinely inspired by God Himself. They don't have no such thing. It is all the theory of this one, or the theory of that one, or the theory of somebody with no standard to measure it or to evaluate. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Now, what do you mean by what you say? I mean that nobody, as far as my knowledge extends, can talk about and introduce to the world of mankind the archetypal or original incorporeal or spiritual intangible pattern from which a divine pattern was established. To judge the validity and the divine authenticity of every human creature's experience.
Okay.
As far as my knowledge extends, I don't know nothing about it. Therefore, I say yours stands out as a guiding beacon to the world. Now, you might not have understood it as such. You might not be conscious of that fact. But nevertheless, that's what it is. As you've often heard me say, this is the judgment of the world. To judge angels. And all forms of philosophy. And we don't want to walk around in the city of California. I mean in the city of Los Angeles, in the city of Hollywood, stupid and ignorant of that fact. We want to be conscious of it at all times. That the teaching, which I am fortunate to be associated with, stands out from all the rest of them that ever lived on the face of the earth as a divine revelation, direct, not indirect, but direct from God Himself, that shall judge the world. No, it might not have done you no good because of the fact that he was unable to recognize it as being as I have described. You might not have been capable conscious of it, but that is what it is. So therefore, I say to you, try to be submissive enough for God to reveal that great esoteric secret to you, that it becomes a living
reality within you, that this is what it is. That you sweep away all the debris of all of the philosophies. As I told that man upstairs today, when we went back and talked about Zoroaster, Plato, Socrates, Herodotus, the first known historian that compiled together records, that way back there before the coming of Christ, there were many charlatans or false teachers and instructors. And the further back you go, aside and apart from Judaism, just the more that you have to add to what you already know about. Are you listening? That Jesus Christ himself come on the scene years afterwards and said, all that come before me are thieves and robbers. And in that him, he himself spoke of Zoroaster as being a thief and a robber, because the people looked upon him as the Messiah, looked upon him as the person that had come to redeem and to restore understanding and to reconcile the world to one standard. Do you understand? So that there could be peace among all people. Did you get the full impulse of what I just said? So if you want to talk about Confucius, see, and his contemporaries, you understand me? If you want to talk about Plato and his contemporaries, you understand? We had it all summed up, all of them that come before. Now the Apostle Peter says this. Says he has come not only Moses and the prophets as compared to the rest of the philosophers, but he says now that we have a more sure word. See? In other words, since God has been manifested in the flesh and spoken of Moses and the prophets, verifying their statements that God did say, and now here is God himself in a body that confirms that what they say was true is true. Mm-hmm. And to prove it to you, peace, be still, wind, and the miracles which he performed. They speak for themselves in verification of the fact that Moses and the prophets were sin of God. And Peter said we got a sure word now, because we had it demonstrated and verified. Do you see through what I'm talking about? Do you understand me? So let us not try to run way back of Jesus Christ and seek some man's concept of God in the universe. Do you understand? With his inability to present and to prove that it is correct over and above that of Jesus Christ, who was God himself manifested in the flesh, seen of angels, believed on in the Word, preached unto the Gentiles, and received up into glory. Now, let's reach back and get that same thing again. Many of them have been put to death as some of the
philosophers tell us, many of them, like Zoroaster and others, have been crucified and died for what they believed. But none of them have never yet raised from the dead. You see what I'm talking about? He's still out there. Do you understand me now? Because Christ is the first fruits of them that raised from the dead. He's the only one that's ever been in the grave and come out of it. Showed himself many times. For 40 days to be more exact. And living appearances that he was raised from the dead. His death was witnessed when he hung out there on the cross. By everybody that wanted to collect and gang around the cross and see him die. Even God, the solar system, bore record that he was the one that Moses and the prophets said would come, and he turned dark over the face of the earth from the sixth to the ninth hour. And nowhere in the annals of history, neither profane or sacred, has there any record of any day like that before or since. At his death and the commemoration of it. And as I said to you, he is the first one that was ever planted in the heart of the earth and raised from the dead and walked back to the disciples that followed him around over the Judean hill and appeared to above 500 at one time that they might observe and look at their nail prints. Expose himself. He's the first one. Then steps aboard a cloud and passed out of their view. And nobody has no history. Nobody has no record of his reappearance and a funeral. Because I said that to say that he owns that immortality, dwelling in life, which no man can approach. And I don't think, for my part, that there should arise in the course not only of one lifetime, but a half a dozen lifetimes. I don't think that any troubles of any nature or any sort or any kind could arise that would justify our relinquishing hope on eternal life. I don't think that during many lifetimes that the troubles known that we have had in the past or that we will have in the future will justify us the sense of turning loose of eternal life and deciding, you understand?
Yeah.
In favor of eternal destruction. I don't think that anything could happen. If all of you use this statement, then I am persuaded, or you are aware of these things, I am persuaded that neither height nor depth, principalities or powers, things present, or things yet to come shall separate me from the love of Christ. Now some of us, because things don't go to suit us,
You say, well, I'll lay my religion up on a shelf and curse you out. I don't think my wife, she is present. Well, understand, when I say she is present, I mean she's a physical human being in the world. I don't think she's worth it. Not to me, nor no other woman. I need to sacrifice eternal life in favor of anything that is present. That's what I'm trying to say to you. Principalities are powers. When you speak of principalities and the powers that be, do you understand? I mean political, ecclesiastical, or otherwise. Those are the principalities. And those are the powers. And none that I know anything about or ever heard of is worthy of me relinquishing my hope on eternal life in favor of accepting something. Understand? That doesn't appear to me as a reality and that I can adopt and become a counterpart of me. Do you understand? I don't think anything. See? So now let's look up. Again, as the Apostle Paul said, examine yourself. See whether you be in the faith or not. Well, somebody said, well, if I ain't in it, I certainly have got a lot of company. That won't help you none. See what I'm talking about? And we always want to point the finger, see, that same old Adamic trait. And said, now that woman you gave me, she could have turned around and said, yes, if it hadn't have been for you from whence I came, then this wouldn't be. You understand what I mean? So passing the buck is not going to help it now. It's an individual affair. It's a personal affair. Do you see through what I'm talking about? What does it mean to you? No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about... you understand? I don't want to lock hands with the world and go to hell. I want to be saved. You see what I'm talking about? See? That's for you to look at. And listen, I would like to say this at this point right here. There are many, many precious promises in the Bible. That if we become sincere and honest, and if there be a God, which we believe that there is, and if permissible, I'd like to change the story or the statement from saying if we believe and say that we know that there is. Mm-hmm. And I, at this cardinal point, I'd like for you to read something for me. Mark, the 11th chapter, and the 22nd and the 23rd verse. Let's stop. Stop tonight. Dead in our tracks. And test the statement. Let's challenge it if we're in doubt. Let's apply tonight. Let me give you some grounds upon which you challenge. You can use equivalent position or grounds or premises if you want to. Here we are in California. Mm-hmm. Tonight,
Now, is it speculating whether we shall have success or not? You see what I'm talking about? Some of us have been from one place to the other. We haven't found a job yet. We haven't accomplished some of the things that we had anticipated. You understand me? I'm trying to lay it down now. I'm putting something down for you to look into. No, I don't mean to accuse and abuse nobody about nothing. That's not why I brought it up. The reason why I brought it up, I'm trying to give you, if you understand me, some ground for you to test and find out whether this, what's written in this book, is valid or not. That's what I'm talking about. Do you understand me? So don't think I'm trying to throw something at somebody. I'm not.
See?
And quite frequent, when somebody finds something that they want or had hoped to come in possession of, they don't give God no credit for it, nohow. Ain't that right? So you just might as well try it on a basis of an experiment as to look upon it and say, well, I just had good luck. Ain't that right? If that's what you want to call it. When conscious of the fact that God did bless you, you understand? Read.
And Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God.
Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. Look, put a period there.
See, have faith in God.
Now he said, for you to have faith or have confidence in God. Now, for you to have confidence in God, you've got to first arrive at some positive or definite conclusion that there is a God. You can't have faith in something that you don't know nothing about. Can you? Have faith in God. That's a very short sentence, isn't it? Have faith in God. Follow the word. Read.
For verily I say unto you.
For truthfully I say unto you.
That whosoever shall say unto this mountain.
That whosoever. Now the whosoever. Would that include you? Would that include them that he was speaking to back there? Or do you want to exclude yourself? Take your choice. You see, he said that whosoever. In other words, it don't make no difference who it is. Even if it's me. Ain't that right? It just don't make no difference. Whosoever. Read.
Shall say unto this mountain.
Shall say unto this mountain. Them obstacles that look like great big mountains, you don't see no way in the world. You understand? To get over. I just don't see how I can accomplish it. See? I don't know what I'm going to do. See? Everything is piling pins on me from every angle. And I don't know what I'm going to do. And some people just go ahead on and go crazy. That's right. You see what I mean? Understand? Because they just don't see no way out. Ain't that right? I know of a murder case in Springfield.
see?
The man left a statement, made this kind of a statement. And if my memory served me right, he left a statement saying he didn't know no other way out.
See?
Wasn't wrong. He didn't have no faith in God. You see what's going on? One of them great big mountains got in his way. You see what? And that's the only way out he could find. You understand? And just go ahead on and do away with the whole thing, you see? Mm-hmm. Now, there's a whole lot of bad things that occur in life because you and I don't see any way out. And tragedy is a result of not seeing no way out. You understand me now. And then you wait to see where it's standing there and wait to see where it's going to get going. I just want to get you to see. Now, they'll be there. Be thou removed and cast into the sea.
See?
Now, basically, the premises for the removal of the mountain is in the next sentence. Read.
Shall not doubt in his heart. But shall believe that those things which he said.
Now wait a minute. What? Them things? What did you say? Huh?
Nothing.
All right. Repeat.
But shall believe those things which he said shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says.
Now look here. Let me say something. That's quite a bargain, ain't it? Ain't that quite a bargain?
Mm-hmm.
Have you tried that receipt or that cure for something to heal? Others tried it. It works.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's a sure shot there. But look, James said, if you don't receive it because you ask amiss. You see that now?
Let me get the last one. You don't receive what?
You ask amiss. In other words, he means this, that you didn't have no faith. Don't receive it because you ask amiss. You see that now?
Let me get the last one. You don't receive what?
You ask amiss. In other words, he means this, that you didn't have no faith in God. Now that's a thing that is happening everywhere.
Right.
Through just recitation or just reciting. A lot of them, they just write down prayers, as they call it. See? Formulated prayers. Not anything that is functioned by the Holy Spirit. But somebody has wrote a receipt or a recitation, and you learn to repeat or to recite it as we did in infancy when mother taught us to get down on our knees and say our Father, which art in heaven. And in some cases, understand, say, now I lay me down to sleep and I pray the Lord my soul. Just reciting with no expectations of receiving anything. Just a formula. See? And just as, I might say, customs and traditions. And we have grown up with that enough. Do you understand? And consequently, we don't have any faith in the existence of the true God of the universe, and we just say something just as a routine and as a repetitious formula.
consequently, we have asked amiss because we had no confidence in it when we were talking, and it didn't go no higher than a hater. You understand? And therefore, we didn't receive anything. Consequently, we asked amiss. With no faith, no confidence, no expected result. Just the form, just the tradition, just the custom. Just another recitation. And we brand it and label it a prayer. You see? Understand? But suppose we get, as they say, real shook up about the thing. Real sincere about it. There's so much until we can get our inner consciousness concerned about it. You see the point? And look for some results. Why don't you try that one? Wouldn't it be better to try that than it would be some of the things we have tried? Now, that's omitting the things we've tried to, you understand. To solve our problems. We don't want to hear about it. And that don't go into that at all. See? Now there's the cure and there's the formula. There's the receipt for success. Read.
Yes, Lord, I say unto you, whatsoever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye will receive them, and ye shall have them.
Now you see that? Now I didn't say that, so don't go around saying, well, Dr. King said it, but I didn't say it. You said that? Why don't you try that and find out whether it'll work or not? Can you give me a real good reason for not trying to see whether it'll work or not? Somebody said, well, I believe I can. Said, I've tried it. Now, I'm sorry you didn't. You just didn't try it. You might have thought you did. See? Now, if that ain't no good, the rest of it ain't no good. If that part right there ain't no good, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, that ain't no good either. Nothing you can talk about is any good if that ain't no good. Get the point? Which means that we ought to be serious and sincere. Now let me tell you, I'm here hoping and anticipating success here in L.A. in Hollywood. And I wanted to say these things to you tonight, that you might be lifted up to such an extent that when we come to present ourselves before the Lord as ambassadors of God, that we don't fail in our attempt to present to this part of the country the reality of God. Do you see what I'm talking about? That we don't care our financial problems. That we don't care our domestic problems. That we don't care our political context. Do you understand? If we have any. Let's clear the slate. Let's clean the slate. And depend on God. You see what I'm talking about? For success in this venture here in L.A. and in Hollywood. Let's hope that some soul somewhere will see the light. That as the Apostle Paul said, that I might find utterance for speech, and that I might speak
as I ought. That I might find words and speak under the influence of the Holy Spirit. That some soul out there might comprehend. Some might understand. And for all of our shortcomings, financially. You understand me? Financially. And otherwise. We might be able, through this mercy, through this prescription, that has the brand of the guarantee on it, direct from the Creator of the universe, that we will succeed if we just only have faith in God. What better could I say to you tonight? Do you know of anything? Frankly and honestly, I do not know. I don't know if you can do better to say to you tonight, have faith in God. And if you don't have, now's a good time to try to muster some confidence in God. If you do have some, now's a good time to employ it. This is the thing that we have anticipated when we first left home. We are now on the threshold after spending many hundred dollars. All of you, now tomorrow night, let's go home, let's go to sleep, with faith in God, that whatsoever the troubles are, let's look at it from a new angle, beginning tonight. Let's look at it with courage and hope. And in just patience, you understand, and confidence in God. You see what I'm talking about? Let's look at it. Come tonight on. Ask Him for courage. Some of us had one man victory. He realized that he didn't have no faith. Did he? And he said, to Jesus, Lord, I did thee, help thou my unbelief. You understand? Raise me up to the place where you have some confidence. You see what I'm talking about? That I want to believe it, but help me up to the place where it can become a reality to me. See what I'm talking about? Maybe some of us need to try to pray for some faith that we don't have. And confidence. See in God. Enlighten me some kind of way. Help me out under some. There's one fellow went to and said, Lord, said, we went up to the temple and there was another fellow up in there talking about, said, I thank God I ain't like that fellow over there. See? Like that Pharisee over there. See? And the Pharisee was, the Pharisee said, I thank God I ain't like that fellow over there, the publican, see? The publican, he was standing over there, see? What was he saying? The Republican was saying that he was a sinner. You see what I'm talking about? He was it, and he knew that he was, and he was honest enough to admit that he was. And this fellow standing over here, all blown up within himself, that I'm a good fella, and I just appreciate the fact that I ain't like old so-and-so over there. See? And so that the Republican, see, he over there, he admitted that he was a sinner. You see what I'm talking about? And just said, bless me. Understand what I mean? And he went down, both went down. But the Republican went down more justified than the other fellow. See? Why? Because he was willing to admit his guilt, and then he talked about he was so much better than anybody else.
So it wasn't necessary. He'll admit his feelings and all that, because he's all right. Yeah, there's a way that seems right under a man in his own eyes. You see what I'm talking about? And that's the way he felt about it. See? But that wasn't the way God looked at it. See what I mean? The thing of it is, you see, I've told you time and time again that I don't do too much sleeping myself. I have something to think about. And let me put it this way. If it wasn't God, then I would have been in the insane asylum long ago. Because I couldn't stand the pressure and the strain that I've been under these 27 years. And the blasphemous assaults that I have had to suffer. And the abuse that I've had to suffer, I couldn't stand it. See? I couldn't take it at all. You don't have no idea what all I've been through this. I'm not patting myself on the back, I'm just trying to make a statement of fact. But look, it don't mean nothing. It's rather something for me to boast about rather than for me to complain about. Isn't that right? Paul said he counted himself happy that he was even counted worthy to suffer. For Christ's sake. Isn't that right? Isn't he doing it done now? Happy that I'm even worthy to be counted to suffer. And then, not only that, blood running down his ears. That deep. Moved back on the scene and said this. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Ain't that right? Do you see what I'm talking about? Oh, I tell you, when you stop and just quit looking at things in a passive way. You understand? And a nonchalant and a I don't care style. See? Oh, it don't make no difference with me. I ain't concerned. Well, and Brother Jeff, so what? That kind of an attitude. You see what I'm talking about? Why don't you? And I, why is it that we can't? Oh, yes, I know all that too. Somebody said, well, now look, all the preaching and teaching that you can do ain't going to do me a bit of good. Why? Look at your life. See what I'm talking about? Look at the way you live. Look at the way you do. Look at what you say. Look at what you do. You get the point? Now listen. One fellow thinks he can eat herbs and the other fellow thinks he can't. See? Understand? And I am happy and just as glad as I can be that these carnal-minded intellectual giants, God did not leave it to their discretion to judge right and wrong. I'm happy about that thing. You understand? And why are you are pointing the finger of scorn at somebody else? No. Don't let it backfire. Which it will usually do. Ain't that right? It will backfire. Be careful before you pull the trigger. Or then things is things. Ain't that right? It will explode right in your face. So now the main thing about the whole thing. A whole lot of things when it comes to many things in life. And look, for your information, I'd hate to see the book compiled missing the mistakes that I made. It would frighten me. That of itself would be a great big mountain that I doubt. Understand? As a man, I could get over it. Round it 100. Well, that's what I have been. The biggest sin of my life is a mistake. I didn't have to go nowhere for it to happen. Either it happened right where I was. You see what I mean? A mistake. So don't you see, I don't have nothing to do no throwing off on nobody about nothing. Do you catch my thought? I'm a man just like you. You understand? And the financial mistakes I've made, for example, I've made good money working from a child on up. Now, evidently, I must have made some financial blunders somewhere. I ain't got nothing. So that by itself tells you I've made some financial blunders, don't it? Yes, indeed, I believe them. I ain't trying to say I haven't either. But the greatest mistake that a person could ever make is to not be concerned and lose your soul. See? I never intend to make a mistake like that. You see what I'm talking about? Some of my mistakes along the lines have been due to carelessness. Some of them I didn't care. Some of them I didn't care about. I didn't even investigate too well before I went and done something did dabble some money or wasted some. Never looked into it thoroughly. If I just stopped and thought, and first one thing, another, and I'm sure that all of us at one time or the other have made some of them kind of mistakes, haven't we? But many mistakes I'm talking about. I mean, you and I don't want to make a mistake of finding God, see, and knowing Him for our own self. And let's not make the mistake and the blunder of staggering on through life carelessly and lose our soul. That is the most important thing of it all. And let me tell you something. Don't you try to take someone else's life to go by as a standard for yourself. Don't do that. Now let me tell you why I said that to you. I went to church many times. I used to be a sister pastor. And I preached until I had used good blood. And I've seen some people. You couldn't hold them down. Just shout. Have pity. Has Holmes' book, one of the other night, took one of the card back by it. And I'm preaching for their life, seeing she took that old hard bag Bible with a lot of loose teeth. She hit me upside the head. And leaves just rained, and it never even fade. Now it's kept right on preaching, see? And I not run out of fell beside my head, I just kept right on preaching. And I've seen people just shout. Now here's the hard part of it. The same people, when the shouting was over, come right back. I had a lot of confidence. Come right back and sit right up in my face and look me straight in the eye. And accuse me of things that they didn't know whether I was guilty of them or not. You see what I'm talking about? They just enjoyed accusing me. Now, I used to say to myself, I just wish I could be happy like Sister So-and-so and Brother So-and-so. See what I'm talking about? I just wish that I could be like them. You understand?
And I just thought I was having all kinds of trouble. And I picked out different ones in the congregation. And I just hoped. And I wished. And I longed to see the day come when the cares of this life didn't bother me. And I could be free and happy to rejoice as I thought in the God of my salvation as they were. Have you ever seen anything like that? Has anything like that ever occurred to you? Seeing people that just look like they was happy all the time. And I wished I could be like Brother so-and-so and Sister so-and-so. And then you got down to rock bottom with it. You see what I'm talking about? See? And God comes to revealing a few things to you. You see what I'm talking about? And really carries you on down into the depths. See? And you found out that they were happy over imagination or thought that wouldn't hold water. It wouldn't stand up under scrutiny. You understand what I'm talking about? Then you begin to change your song. Yeah, I can't shout over ignorance. You see what I'm talking about? You come in to settle down. And you see what I'm talking about? Getting settled down. You see what I'm talking about? I'm sorry. See? Well, then, there you are. It ain't like I thought. It ain't like I imagined. Now let me say in my closing remarks. We were in the city of Springfield. I believe Brother Carter and Brother Gene I'm talking about come to our class in Springfield, Ohio. And I talked that night. And he had the interest and the nerve to say the son of the student. Do you believe that stuff? Meaning this. Somewhere along the line, we had attempted to explain something about water baptism and its effect and the dispensation wherein it belongs. Now his church was the church of the New Jerusalem or some, what was it? New Testament church.
Church of Christ.
Huh?
Church of Christ.
Church of Christ. Ye God. It was the only church in existence. You understand? And he just knew that he was right. He wasn't missing it, nothing. And bowed low. And I'm sorry, you're right about it, I'm wrong. See? So now don't you be too sure that the opinions that you have formed from your observations that looks so good and so right to you as compared to what someone else thinks. It ought to be like you think. You understand what I mean? Quite frequent the fault is within us. But we're not willing to dispense with that. We're too sure we're right to admit that we're wrong. It would be embarrassing and humiliating. See? It would be reproachful. It would be too crazy. Too humble of submission for me to admit. For me to admit that, honey, Jeff, it's just got to be you. It ain't no way in the world it can be me. You understand? But that one is mine. You can't get over it. See what I'm talking about? I can't get this smoke out of my eyes. you understand? I can't get this beam out. See, and here I am, dragging it in that, and here I've been swallowed a whole camel.
in my own self-righteousness, condemnation of somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot see my faults by looking at yours.
Mm-hmm.
Just like all that said, like Isaiah said, it took the death of King all that for Isaiah to see the Lord. See, he just couldn't see nobody but King all that. And he had to die and bury him before he could see the Lord. He was always looking at the king. And he said to hear that all that died. I saw the Lord sitting up on the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple.
Okay.
You understand? So we don't want to be looking at somebody else all the time, somebody so and so we can't see the Lord. You see what I'm talking about? So now let's let some of these all die and murderies. let them die tonight. See what I'm talking about? And come and stay and investigate. You see what I'm talking about? Then now look here, Lord. I'm through. Okay, Lord. Jesus said, have faith in God. And you say that whosoever, and I'm including myself in, that whosoever says unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and have no doubt in his heart. You say, I can have so whatsoever you ask for, let's put it that way, that's guaranteed to be the truth. You see what I'm talking about? Now, that ain't no good. You understand? The rest of it ain't no good. You see what I'm talking about? And let me say this. That's one of them personal investigation. You see what I'm talking about? Now you don't have to go out in the street and say, look, Jeff, I've decided that I'm going to ask God for this. You don't have to put it in the paper.
No.
You see what I'm talking about? Now why? Because, are you listening? Everybody has, and I got everybody's attention. Now, suppose you start to ask for the removal of some of them mountains. Before you start. Don't start now wrong, because if you do, you'll ask for men. See? This is what he said to do. Here's the formula for it. See? He said, when you pray, when you start to ask, see, enter into your secret closet. That could be walking along the street. You see what I mean? That can be anywhere, ain't that right? Within you. See? Enter into your secret thought. Take special pains and shut the door. Now, what do you mean by that? You understand? That is a secret that is within you. You understand? The door is closed. Everything else is shut out. Ain't that right? I'm in my secret closet. You understand? And now, I'm going to test. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask. Conscious of this fact, that I don't know how to pray as I ought. But the Holy Spirit maketh intercessions for me with groanings that cannot be uttered. So I can walk right along down this town. You see what I'm talking about? The door closed and no utterance at all. Yeah, you know, my door is closed. You see what I'm talking about? And your Father, who seeth in the secret, will reward you openly. You get something. Now that is the truth. I don't know how you accepted it tonight, whether you're concerned about it or what. But I want to say to you, as I said in my concluding remark, what I am saying to you, I have tried. And listen, I have been personally satisfied about it. I have received. See, I don't have any complaints. And I don't have no doubts about the formula either. See, I one time went back through my life and examined.
since God has given me this great vision and revelation. I went back through my life and examined it, looked at it real good. Oh, yes, I know all about the accusations. I'm not talking about her. And some of her own convictions about me and all of them. I'm not talking about that. No need to put it in the picture, but I had looked back. And some of it, everything I could think of. And ask God for. I'm putting it in some words you can understand. I tell you the honest truth. God being my secret judge, I've got what I asked for. And I thought that thing over carefully. And I asked for something that was staggering to most people. Some people would be frightened to even ask for. They wouldn't have any confidence to believe that they ever would receive any such thing. I've asked for and gotten them. That's the honest truth. As I say, I call God for a record upon my soul. I am speaking the truth. And behold, I lie not. I have found. I don't feel that I'd be justified in complaining about the things that I have asked for. Yes, I've asked for some things that I know that was impossible. See? Or anyone else other than God himself to grant. But I have got it. And I want to say to you tonight, put the things to the test. Go home and try it out some. Think about it tomorrow, the next day. You see what I'm talking about? Find out whether the failures and all in life is due to our unbelief or not. Do you understand? You sum it up in one minute. Now, I know that this thing of reason ain't gonna get no results out of nothing. I know that too. Anyhow, you need to expect if you ask him. Some people ain't even concerned enough to ask God for anything. See? So, he blesses them right off just the same. They're unconscious of it, but he does. You understand? He lets the sun shine in the backyard of the wicked just like he does in the righteous. Ain't that right? Remember, as Solomon said, rejoice, O young man, and walk after the imagination of your heart. But while you are doing it, just remember all these things God shall bring you into the judgment. Don't you think? Because a lot of things that you are pleased with and all them kind of things justified you in doing it in every kind of way. And when I say that, I mean not be thankful to God for the blessings that he bestows upon you, because see, you have paid for that. The price is too great. Let it be the death of Christ out there that compensated or restored or redeemed you. You understand what I mean? Let it be that. I don't want to be charged with ignoring the sacrifice that God has offered up for the restoration and the redemption of the world. I can't pay the bill. See the point? So it's better to depend on God, isn't that right? Do you understand what I mean? Now, I hope I have at least given you some encouragement. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
You said that, yes, I know that I am something just as impossible. I'm wondering about the impossibility of God. What I'd like for you to explain. What could you ask that was impossible with God?
Well, I wasn't speaking along those lines, Mr. Harris, that I had asked for anything that was impossible for God to give. I didn't mean it that way.
You mean that it was impossible with you?
That's right. Now let me refer to one of those things. Let me make personal reference to it. See, now you can appreciate how I felt, or how you would feel, if your son was dead. Not dying, but dead. See, lying right back of you. And you were confused about it. You understand? As one lady said here not long ago, she felt pretty bad. Why? Because she couldn't see why that God had taken her son and her husband. She couldn't see no justice in it. You understand? She couldn't see why that he, what had she done to cause him to do that? You understand? Now look at the trouble. Look at the baffled position in which I'm in. At the time, I had been assistant pastor. I couldn't agree with the teaching in every detail. I wanted to be associated with the people. And those whom I call my very best friends, they were scorning me, choosing me for something I had never did. I had no way to prove to them that the accusations that they made against me was not true. You understand? Now here I stand, and yet I'm wondering within myself, not about the accusation that they told me, that they accused me of, but just the fact that I'm a preacher out here. See? Now, did God actually take my son because I'm out here preaching when I ought not to have been? But I admit to myself, I knew that there was a lot of things I didn't know. And there were some things I thought I knew, I later discovered I didn't know then either. See? And now is this the penalty to take my son from me? His mother had him over in Indianapolis. See? And he was home about 2 or 3 days or something like that, and he was a corpse. When she brought him home, why, we didn't know what it was. He was just forced, you see what I'm talking about? And come to find out that he had diphtheria. Doctor come out there and stir up some stuff in the glass and get in this every 2 hours and say, you'll be all right. What is it, Doc? Membrane screw. I didn't even know what membrane screw was. See? And when it kept getting worse, I called in Dr. Easton. Some of you live in Springfield, know him. And Dr. Easton walked in the door. He smoked a cigar all the time. And he looked. And he said, you called me too late. If you'd called me a couple of hours ago, I might give him 20,000 units of diphtheria antitoxin and saved his life. But now all he would do is just dump up in his veins because his pulse isn't strong enough to carry it. And he was fading on out. And he died. Now there I sat, out on the front porch. Even people that my friends that knew me couldn't go in and see him because they closed the casket to membranous proof, or in other words, diphtheria. If they both mean the same, I don't know what it did. But anyhow, we understood it as diphtheria. It's a contagious disease. No, just a private funeral. And here I sit out here wondering, and I've been a holiness preacher, see? And here I sit out here wondering whether or not that God has taken my son. And you asked me to call. Mm-hmm. And I asked God to let that star fall. It fell. While I was sitting there, I thought of Gideon and his fleece. And I asked him to let another fall, and another the third time. And that actually happened. Now, I said that to say that was one of them impossible things for man to rip and take some of them stars down. And that was a personal experience that I had within myself. And
Behold, I tell you the truth. That is not a lie, that's a fact. But that is the truth. That accident happened. That's what I meant to say. And some other things, just like that, but I knew that no man didn't have nothing to do with it. You understand me? See, while it was impossible for man to do that, it was possible for God to do it. That's what I had reference to. Now, there is some impossibilities with God. One of them impossibilities is this. See, we have told you tonight about having faith in God. You understand? And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you that whosoever say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and have no doubt in his heart, shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, if it's impossible for God to lie, then that's the truth there. You see through what I'm talking about? Well, said, I've tried it and it didn't work, but it's still got the truth. You see what I mean? Because God can't lie. The fault is within us. Now, did I answer your question? That is what I had reference to. And I can think of a dozen things or more that time would fail me to tell you about or any of the rest of it. That's why I recommend a trial. Try it. See what you get out of it. Have some confidence in God. Any other questions? Now, we've been working with outlining a program. 8 o'clock tomorrow night. Don't come expecting a great long lecture, because that's not what we expect. We want to have kind of a, well, shall I say, informal opening, an announcement of about the teaching, and welcome the people, and Dr. Merton and Dr. Hare and Dr. Grove and myself, we shall attempt to introduce our objectives to people and make them welcome to be among us. And incidentally, while I'm thinking about it, we received a letter today from one shoemaker. Welcome us to California and commending us, if my interpretation of the letter is right, for not bringing them another man-made philosophy. So it lets you know that what was in the paper, that somebody has respect and appreciation for it. And they're looking at us as introducing some true philosophy. And incidentally, and evidently, it was, they had a letter. I forget what it is now, what it said on it. But it seems to me like it's some established organization of some kind.
The Peace Within
was under his name. Yeah, Peace Within was under their name. I didn't know whether Cumley Shoemaker or Cumley was a woman or a man. I'm still undecided about it. I never heard anybody with the name of Cumley before, see. But, so you can decide whether it's a woman or a man. But anyhow, it's, it appears to be some kind of an institution. So then don't be surprised if some of these people come that are heads of an institution. And incidentally, I'd like to mention this to you too. When the newspaper hit the street, it hadn't been out 2 hours before here come a person. Said, I saw you. I mean, over to the place. Said, I saw you advertised it in the paper. See? Hadn't been out there 2 hours before here.